Tune in to the Sean Salisbury Show weekdays from 5 to 8 Eastern right here on SB Nation Radio.
Game Night with Matt Perrault continues now on SB Nation Radio. Sitting in for Matt Perrault, here's Joe Spano.
Because I believe in Tyrod. Tyrod's our starter. That's what I said yesterday. I know what Tyrod's done, and I also know what Nate's done. So Tyrod's our starter.
Well, Tyrod Taylor's not the starter, and to tell us why, Dan Lavoie from SB Nation's Buffalo Rumblings joins us now on Game Night. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program. And I guess right out of the box, why the change of heart for Coach McDermott? We heard him say that Tyrod Taylor's his quarterback.
Well, I think the writing's been on the wall for some time with Tyrod Taylor and this new coaching staff. They've never really seemed comfortable with each other, and they brought in a new offensive scheme with offensive coordinator Rick Dennison. And Nate Peterman's always been a better fit for this system, and I think they saw this last couple of weeks as an excuse to finally get their guy in behind the center.
Well, you know, you've said that the coaching staff believes, and you seem to believe, that Nathan Peterman is a better fit for this system than Tyrod Taylor. Give us your thoughts on Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback. What do you see, and what do you think of him as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, Tyrod's always been kind of a lightning rod since he started for the Bills. He came in as an afterthought a few years back in the quarterback competition along with E.J. Manuel, Matt Cassel, and emerged from that as a solid starter for a team that had one of the best rushing attacks in the league. But he's never really contributed a very, very productive passing game for the Bills. It doesn't come down to that he's necessarily a bad thrower of the football, but it's really the throws that he chose not to make over the years. Taylor's a very risk-averse quarterback, which gives him great stats, very few interceptions, makes him look good, and when he can find open targets, he delivers some beautiful throws. But at the end of the day, this team was seeing a lot of three and outs on offense, and he's more of a vertical threat, and the Bills wanted to run a horizontal timing type attack, and Peterman just had more success running that.
You know, your answer to that question leads me to ask a couple of questions. First of all, you talked about him being risk adverse. Do you think a lot of that was the coaching of Rex Ryan and Greg Roman when Tyrod first came in and got that starting quarterback job? Because they really coached him not to try and make plays, and more specifically, not to try and make any mistakes. Do you think that had a lot to do with the way Tyrod Taylor thinks at the quarterback position?
Well, I think some of that comes back to his origin as a sixth-round pick entering the draft. He sat as a backup for a number of years and really got a chance to start just by sheer luck of finding an opportunity with the Bills. And I feel that in his mind, he's always had this feeling that if he makes too many mistakes, the rug's going to be ripped out from underneath him. So I absolutely think he has spent a lot of his career trying to avoid making those mistakes and show that he can be a consistent player, and that would give him the starting job and allow him to keep a starting job. But I think to your point that the coaching staff under Rex Ryan wanted to emphasize a ball control, ground and pound offense to give their defense a chance to make plays. That was drilled into Taylor from the very beginning, and it's likely continued as Sean McDermott took over and wanted to emphasize his defense.
I guess really a final one on Tyrod before we move this discussion forward. Do you think if the Bills had better weapons, because it's not exactly the greatest show on turf as far as the passing game weapons, do you think that coupled with a coaching staff that believed in him and put him in a position where he could take advantage of his physical gifts, that Tyrod Taylor could develop into a quarterback you could win a lot of games with and make deep playoff runs with?
Oh, definitely. I think looking at, you can see with the Los Angeles Rams, they pulled in Sammy Watkins through a trade and Robert Woods they signed in free agency, both former Bills receivers. When both of those players played for Tyrod Taylor, when they were both healthy, he was throwing, you know, 280 yards a game. He looked like a professional quarterback should. The problem he's had for the last few years has been availability of those players. Watkins had a foot injury. Woods has been dinged up a few games every year. And this season, they traded away a lot of the talented players and didn't really start to bring in anybody until they got Kelvin Benjamin at the trade deadline. Charles Clay was injured for about a month this season. So Taylor's not exactly been working with the best targets. And I also think the coaching staff could have done more to emphasize his strengths, which are the deep ball and the run game misdirection. Greg Roman was probably the closest we saw to the ideal scheme that Taylor should be operating, and that was his best season in 2015. He hasn't really had that kind of success since then.
Dan Lavoie, SB Nation's Buffalo Rumblings, joining us here on Game Night on SB Nation Radio. Well, now we turn the page and we see Nathan Peterman come in. And we talked about the fact that it's not great weapons. And, you know, what's Nathan Peterman going to bring to the table? And what is he going to be able to do that Tyrod Taylor's not going to be able to do? Like Taylor, he's a mid-round pick. Like Taylor, he's going to be out there with, you know, a team offensively in a passing game that's devoid of weapons, unlike Taylor, and doesn't have very much experience.
Yeah, I think what Peterman brings and why the coaching staff is excited to see him play is the anticipation that he showed for seeing his receivers come open. The Bills don't have a lot of speed on their roster. They have Jordan Matthews, Kelvin Benjamin. Those are the type of guys that can convert contested catches for you, but they're not going to be stretching the field. And that's where Taylor has struggled, is he doesn't like to throw to receivers unless they have separation. Peterman, on the other hand, he can sense those receivers coming across the middle and know that they're going to open up in a half a second and begin to make his throw. So he's comfortable playing within the structure of the play, seeing those route combinations as they're developing, and he's confident delivering the ball even into tight windows that Taylor did not want to try for.
Will we see a different look offense here, or just the same offense executed by somebody who maybe fits the system better?
You'll probably see most of the same scheme that the Bills have been running to this point, but if anything, they might have more of an emphasis on shorter drops, three-step drops, five-step drops, and some quicker routes. That was something that Peterman had success with during the preseason, throwing quick slants and the like. And it will probably also help the Bills' offensive line protect for their rookie quarterback, especially going up against top pass rushers like Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram.
You know, Dan, you're around this team week in, week out. You cover it on a weekly basis. We've talked about what Tyrod Taylor does well, what he doesn't do well, maybe how he wasn't positioned for success as well as he could have been. With all that being said, do you think Nathan Peterman gives this team a better chance to win now in a very weak AFC where the Bills are hanging on to the last playoff spot, number one? And number two, how much of the failings of late of the Buffalo Bills should be laid at the feet of Tyrod Taylor?
Well, I'll start with your second question. I think what we've found with Tyrod Taylor over the last few years is that he's not the type of quarterback that will very frequently lose you a game. He's not the type to throw three interceptions in the fourth quarter and completely crush you, but he can't put the team on his back and win consistently or really very much at all. And that's a tough thing to rely on, is asking your quarterback to be elevated by the other 21 players on the team. So that's why the coaching staff feels like it's the right time to move on, is he wasn't elevating the performance of his offense, and the offense wasn't good enough. So they're going to be facing an easier slate of defensive teams, but they think they can take more advantage of that, having a player who fits into the style of offense they want to run. I don't know if Nate Peterman is going to come in and boost the offense, But I think what he will do is he'll keep them on schedule. And that's a philosophy that Sean McDermott and Rick Dennison have been preaching for this team, is that they don't want to fall behind schedule. They want to have a third and four, third and three situation, second and six, second and five. They like having plays that give them options. And with Taylor, there were too many times where they would fall behind and end up in a third and eight, third and nine, and they didn't have any counters to that. It's not a very creative offense, and they think that using Nate Peterman, they can run the plays that they want to execute, and he'll get them the yards that they want.
One-word answer in a very weak AFC. Do the Bills find themselves in the playoffs come January?
Number six seed, 50-50 shot. That's what I got.
You got it, Dan. Great stuff. Really do appreciate it. Let's do it again real soon, and let's hope for your sake the Buffalo Bills find their way into the 2017 playoffs.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Bye-bye now. Dan Lavoie, SB Nation's Buffalo Rumblings, joining us here on SB Nation Radio on game night, giving us his thoughts on the passing of the torch, not voluntarily by Tyrod Taylor, but nonetheless, the torch has been passed from Tyrod Taylor to Nathan Peterman. I've got some very strong opinions on if this was the right time, and for that matter, if this is the right choice. We'll get into that next, along with where I've been for the last month and a half on SB Nation Radio. It's game night. I'm Joe Spano, in for Matt Perrault. Join the conversation at 800-777-2907. Again, 800-777-2907. Or hit me up on Twitter at JoeSpano56. The most important thing you can do, though, is make sure you keep it where it is.
If you don't have clean brakes, you don't have a clean car. So make a clean brake of it with new 14-ounce barium and chlorinated brake parts cleaner. The strongest CARB and VOC combined.